Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Today's Issues is the name of the program. This year, we have two tours planned. We call them Spiritual Heritage Tours. And what we do, we go to, we have two tours, two separate tours, but they're back-to-back, two different weeks. How about that, if that's not confusing enough for you? We go to, in June and September, we go to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on a spiritual heritage tour. And then when we leave Williamsburg, we drive to Washington, D.C., and we go to Washington, all the monuments, everything you can see there in D.C. that you can in the 3 days. We pack it in. And we also go to Mount Vernon, George Washington's Mount Vernon, on Saturday. So we do both those tours, and we do them back-to-back. That is Williamsburg, Washington, and then we also go in September. We do the same exact thing. So I just wanted to make you aware of that. We have people already signing up. Those tours fill up months in advance. That's why I'm telling you now, if you don't know about these tours and you want to look at doing this, going with us in 2018, we would love to have you. What's unique about these spiritual heritage tours is that we look at things from not only an accurate historical perspective, but also that we include the truth about our rich Christian heritage that goes back to our founding. And Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation, he goes with us. So everywhere we go, Stephen comments. He's a historian of note. Stephen is, and everywhere we go, he talks about the people, places, the times, the events, and the history. So it's not just where we go to these places and we say, hey, look, there's the so-and-so. You know, we don't do that. We go and explain to you, again, the history and the people, the times, and the Christian aspect as well. So if that's something you're interested in, check it out. Go to this website, and all the information is there, spiritualheritagetours.com, spiritualheritagetours.com, spiritualheritagetours.com. The new Bible Museum is also open there in Washington, D.C., and we'll take buses there on Saturday afternoon of our trip after we get back from Mount Vernon. So that's something different and unique this year about the tours, the new Bible Museum. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim here with Walker and Ray. Ray's in Dallas. Walker and I are in our studios in the media capital of the world here in Tupelo. And Steve Jordahl from American Family Radio News and OneNewsNow.com is here. Good morning, Steve, to you.
Good morning. I've seen mock-ups of that Bible Museum at some conferences I've been at, and it looks fantastic.
Yeah,
it really does.
It's open now. It's open.
It is.
I haven't been,
it
but it's open now.
It's the brainchild of Stephen Green, who's the chairman and owner of the Hobby Lobby stores.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, what do you got to lead us off here, Steve?
Let me just some breaking news this morning. I'll just mention this. We can hit and run on this. Virginia, the House of Delegates, the election they had in November for the last seat in the House of Delegates ended in a dead tie. This is after tens of thousands of votes in the district, and they ended up dead even, not even a vote separating the two candidates, the Republicans, was David Yancey, and the Democrat was a woman named, I had it right here. Well, she lost. The Republican won. So it doesn't matter what her name is.
The nameless woman
the
lost?
The nameless woman lost.
Are you saying the Republican won? What was it? Did they draw?
They draw. They put the names on a piece of paper. They wound them up, and they put them in the film canisters. You know, this. Remember when film?
Right.
And they put it in a bowl, and they shook them up, and the board guy drew this. And the Republican incumbent, David Yancey, won. This gives control of that body to the Republicans. It would have been tied, and I was just talking with Brian Fisher just a second ago, and he said Virginia has no tie-breaking capacity like our Senate does, where the vice president steps in and casts a tie-breaking vote if it's a tie. It just would have been a dead tie, do-nothing house, I guess, or chamber. But Republicans control that. So that's the end of a very strange election result in Virginia, and good news for Republicans. Tim, you're a baseball fan, aren't you?
Sure am.
You know, Southern Mississippi has had a pretty good couple of years. Last season, the Golden Eagles went 50-16.
Mm-hmm. Great baseball program, yes, in Hattiesburg.
Well, they have they were scheduled next month in February to have a series of games with the State University of New York's Stony Brook campus.
Stony Brook. That's what usually happens during college baseball season is teams from the north come south so they can play baseball in February. And it's oftentimes difficult to play baseball in February even in the south. But that's pretty normal. So this school from New York, Stony Brook, was going to come to Hattiesburg to play Southern Miss.
They were. They had a scheduled three games, and that's a normal baseball series. But because New York Governor Cuomo has decided that unnecessary travel to Mississippi is illegal in his world, he has signed an executive order that he will not allow anybody from New York in a state capacity to travel to Mississippi because of Mississippi's religious freedom law, which I know that you're very familiar with, HB 1523, which says that marriage is between a man and a woman, and
that the state government cannot discriminate against people who hold to that view.
Right. Well, New York's discriminating against people who hold to that view, and they are decided not to send their baseball team down, and the coach at
Mississippi. You're telling me that the governor of the state of New York told the school, which is a state school, I guess, you will not be allowed to go to Mississippi to play baseball.
That's what he said.
So does that mean, Tim, that if Mississippi State signed a deal to have play Syracuse, say, does that mean that the governor would say to Syracuse, you can't come to Starkville to play? Good night.
Yes, it would. It would mean that if it's a state school in New York,
Is Syracuse a state school?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question.
But
the hypothetical is still true. But what you have here, let me just also frame this properly, because I did check with the governor's office in Mississippi, Phil Bryant, because you remember the hysteria that the LGBT community and the Human Rights Campaign and the Southern Poverty Law Center and all these folks on the left, the media, the national media, you know, they spend a lot of their time just pounding North Carolina to death over HB2. But then they went after, to a lesser extent, Mississippi for HB 1523, a state law. Basically, it was designed to protect Christians from government oppression, as we've seen with the Bakers and the Forest and the things that Jack Phillips. And for example, the people of Mississippi did not want that to happen to people of faith, and so a law was instituted to protect them from that. Well, the outcry from the LGBT community and others was, "Oh my word, you're allowing discrimination against LGBT people in the state of Mississippi, and it's going to be a catastrophe, and bigotry is going to come out everywhere, and people are going to be beat up in the streets because they're gay."
Right.
I checked with the governor's office this morning. This has all been in existence, what, nearly 2 years? Is that right, Walker?
I think a little over a year.
Okay. Well, it's between a year and 2 years. I'm not sure exactly when it was passed and signed by the governor. I asked the governor's office how many complaints have you had, how many legitimate, complaints have been filed in court that he was aware of, the governor's office was aware of, that would signify this mass discrimination against LGBT?
Not just like the ACLU saying it's a bad law, but someone that says, I went into some place and they spit on me and kicked me out.
Right. A gay person went into a restaurant and the waiter said, "Hey, are you gay? I'm not bringing any tea. You know, you can leave." Mm-hmm. You know, that's,
that must have happened hundreds of times.
Well, the governor's office said zero.
Really? Is none. My ironic face on?
N-O-N-E.
Probably can't see on the radio, can you?
Zero, none. Which is what we said. People aren't going to do that. This was a fundraising deal by the Human Rights Campaign. It was unnecessary, over the top reaction from the LGBT folks. Why? Because these activists, and not all LGBT folks, don't get me wrong, but the activists, they do want to see the punishment of the Christian who owns the bakery, who says, "I can't make you a wedding cake, or come do a do the flowers at your wedding." They want to see those people driven out of business. Okay, so not all of that community, but the real hardcore activists, and certainly the liberal media. So they framed this HB 1523 as a hateful bill, mm-hmm. as a hateful law, and as it turns out, is as we said, and as the governor said at the time, this will not be discriminatory against anybody. And the fact is that the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans, the federal appellate court,
right?
This 1523 of Mississippi law was taken before them by some left-wing law firm, I think, Human Rights Campaign or somebody. Mm-hmm. And the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeal judges says, bring us somebody who's been injured because of this law. Somebody so that you'll have standing here.
Right.
Tell it. Somebody come tell us how they've been discriminated against because of this law. Mm-hmm. And nobody came forth because nobody could. Nobody had been.
The lawsuit was based on a hypothetical situation, which never occurred.
Yeah.
So there was no standing, and it was dismissed, which the law is now in full effect.
Yeah. So this for this governor of New York, he's wacky anyway, Governor Cuomo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's the one that said pro-life people were not welcome in his state. You know, remember him saying that?
I do.
He said pro-life people were not welcome in his state of New York. Of course, he's got a lot of pro-life people who live in the state of New York. So that's the kind of guy he is. But now he's forbade one of his state schools from visiting the Magnolia State to play baseball, even.
And California's governor, California has the same kind of law, and Governor Brown has said similar things. So you can probably, you will miss any kind of a UCLA or Cal game against any of the state schools.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I don't know if University of California, I know Ole Miss played California in Berkeley in football this season. Yeah. I don't know when that return game is going to be, if it's going to be in Oxford. But the governor of California last year, Jerry Brown, I think you had some schools playing the baseball tournament mm-hmm. in the state of Mississippi. And I think it was in the state of Mississippi, maybe Tennessee. You know, to them, we're all same out there in California. But they had to raise their own money to travel because of that. Ray, what do you think about all this?
Well, Steve, to go back to your point about Syracuse, I was looking and checked it out. Here's the schizophrenic nature of this. Syracuse is a private university, so they could come to Starkville to play Mississippi State. But the guys from Stony Brook, which is a state school, they can't go to Hattiesburg to play baseball. The whole situation is bizarre. Who's really being punished here?
Right.
I mean, the real losers here are the baseball players from Stony Brook who have to cancel a series, and the players down at Southern Mississippi. Whereas if you're a private university, it doesn't even apply to you. This policy makes no sense.
Over a law that doesn't hurt anybody.
Oh, that. Thank you. Right. Thank you.
Yes. Over a law that doesn't hurt anybody.
Yeah, and also the left is always so against travel bans. Against President Trump's immigration travel ban.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Because it's discriminatory. Everyone should be welcomed in America. Everyone should be able to, basically no borders. Everyone come. But the New York governor is for travel restrictions. He's restricting U.S. citizens from visiting another state.
I bet
you can't make this stuff up. Yeah,
that's right.
Say.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next up, Steve.
Attorney General Sessions has decided to reverse the Obama-era policy on marijuana legalization. So President Obama had said when the wave of states like Colorado and Washington decided to legalize recreational and medical marijuana, the President Obama, he said, we're going to stay out of your way. We're not legalizing it. You have to make sure that it's not sold to minors. You have to make sure that you have keep it within your borders. And there are some other restrictions on it. But he basically turned a blind eye towards it. Well, not so with President Trump and his Justice Department. Attorney General Sessions has ripped up this this memorandum that kind of said what he's going to do. So now he's leaving it up to states attorneys general as to whether, or other attorneys as to whether, they're going to prosecute within their states. So, but we're hearing from people like Cory Gardner, who's the Republican senator from Colorado. He said this reported action directly contradicts what Attorney General Sessions told me prior to confirmation. I am prepared to take all steps necessary, including holding DOJ nominees until Attorney General Sessions lives up to the commitment he made to me prior to his confirmation. So he's getting pushback from even Republican senator. It's caused all kinds, this whole dual nature of legal in the state but illegal federally has caused all kinds of problems. For example, the legal marijuana dispensers in places that sold it had nowhere to put their money because banks, federally insured, can't take proceeds from drugs. And so they didn't know, they had nowhere to put their revenue. Schizophrenic is a good way to put it, but I think they're starting to get a little bit of more of a, having it.
Now tell me, in California, can you just walk down the street smoking dope? Is that legal
now? As of January 1, it's legal, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really? Just,
well, it's interesting because California was one of the first states, and I haven't really looked, it just crossed my mind. California was one of the first states to ban cigarette smoking almost everywhere. Certainly can't do it in restaurants, mm-hmm. no bars. Even in some cases in your own home, the state was saying you couldn't smoke cigarettes. So I'm not sure if the marijuana.
So the state that's funny. The state that bans smoking.
Cigarette smoking.
Right.
Passes a law to allow for marijuana smoking.
I need to look up that because I'm not sure what they're going to do with those if the marijuana falls under the cigarette ban.
Now, they couldn't ban cigarette smoking or tobacco use altogether. You're just saying in public places.
Even in one's own home. For example, I think there was a law that said if there are children present in your home, you can't light up. You have an apartment building that you rent, you can't smoke.
Secondhand smoke danger, I think that's what they're getting.
It's what
right
they were
there.
Saying, right.
But I just wondered what this new law.
I don't know what it's going to have.
A lot of people talk about marijuana as if it's this harmless, you know, drug or whatever. But I've read stories of Colorado where you just go places, parts of town and stuff, people are totally out of it. They have no idea where they are, no idea what they're doing or why they're there. And it's you just go there and people are like zombies because everybody's high on dope. And I don't think that's a good place you want to raise your family.
The states of Nebraska and Oklahoma sued Colorado because they weren't able to keep it within the borders of Colorado and the police were being over.
So what's Jeff Sessions doing now? Again, what's the bottom line here?
He has ripped up the Obama understanding with states that the federal government was going to turn a blind eye to the legal sale of marijuana in those states.
Now, is this going to end up in the Supreme Court then, Steve? A question of federalism between the states and the
right for that. I'm not aware of a lawsuit at this point. I don't know that it probably would have reach or is on track to reach because of the two suits that I just told you from Oklahoma and Nebraska.
Now you're telling me that marijuana is still to possess marijuana is against the law federally?
Yes.
But now the liberals always tell us you've got to, you know, a state can't pass a law like Mississippi did protecting religious freedom because federal law trumps, which was
Supreme
Court, decision on gay marriage. But you're telling me that the liberals
Well, the liberals are smoking something. I think that's
touche.
Yeah, that's right.
Touche, Steve. Steve, we got 4 minutes. You got anything good in that pile of stuff you got right there?
I do. I do. The U.S. private sector added 250,000 jobs in December. I don't know if you guys talked about this earlier.
No, we haven't, Steve.
But this was according to ADP. They come out with numbers. The federal numbers are going to be out tomorrow, it looks like. But the jobs, the sector keeps booming, adding jobs. And today, the Dow passed the 25,000 mark for the first time.
I remember when, what was it, not too many years ago, right, when there was talk of will the Dow go over 10, right?
Oh, yeah, there were books about that. Dow 10,000, and people thought that was a myth and a dream. It's been on fire since election night. It's been basically straight up. There hasn't been a down month in the market since Trump was elected.
Nope.
Well, I guess I missed out with my 401k money because I took it all out of that stock market there. Their stock market. Remember when we all lost half our money?
That's right.
When was that? 2008. Remember everybody remembers that nightmare, right?
That's right. That was bad.
That was bad. Well, after that happened, I said, I'm not doing this anymore.
See, that's the exact opposite of what people would often, and I'm not a financial counselor. Please, nobody take this as advice. But they say if the market takes a big dip, at some point go in because it has to come back up. We're a capitalist country with businesses. It has to come back up.
What you failed to say right there, Steve?
What did I fail to say?
You said that if it goes down, it goes back up, right?
Yeah.
Then guess what?
It goes back down.
That's right, Steve. That's right, Steve. Man, you know, hey, I'm not against people investing in the stock market. A lot of people are doing well. I'm just for me, it was like, I don't want to lose that money again, so I put it in a not risky place,
like municipal.
But you know, if you're a young whippersnapper like Walker over here, you get in you can get in the stock market now.
Right.
And, you know, over the history proves.
Yeah, buy one of those index funds, right? Yeah. And just put your money in there and sit back and relax.
Right. And when you get to be
20, 30, 40 years, right.
The trendy thing is Bitcoin. Are you in Bitcoin at all, Walker?
Not in Bitcoin.
Or the cyber currency.
Yeah,
that's a big popular.
My sons are in that. Yeah. That's like the Wild West of investing.
It really is.
There are no rules.
The Dow going over 25,000 means that the economy is doing really well.
The bulls are on a rampage.
Here in the U.S., we're adding jobs, and according to Drudge, it says layoffs lowest since 1990. A couple of weeks ago, there was a report out that employment in the African-American community is the highest it's been in 17 years. The same can be true of the Hispanic American community.
Right.
So I'm just wondering, for all the negative cast at President Trump, if maybe he would be able to endear himself to more and more of the minority community, given that they're doing better economically.
It's going to make a difference. It's going to make a difference in 2018, I think.
Right. All right. So see you back here tomorrow, folks. We thank you for listening to our program. Today's issues, the Bible teaching of Alistair Begg is straight ahead, and then Janet Mefford's on after the news, and then on with your day here on American Family Radio. My thanks to Walker, Steve, Fred, Ray, and Brent, and we'll see you next time. Don't forget, tomorrow's Trivia Friday, so we'll have a good time tomorrow, and we'll see you here then.